It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. So glad you're here. We have a fun one today. Aren't they all fun ones, though? But this guy, I was on his podcast a couple of weeks ago, and it was fun. He's kind of an international guy. He's an Italian dude that lives in Austria. So he's going to give us some flair, but he's a lot of fun to listen to. His main gig is that he helps business owners in services discover how to run their company more efficiently, which results in higher sales. And he created the strategy sprints method that doubles revenue in 90 days by getting owners out of the weeds. Pretty important to be working on your business rather than in your business. He's the CEO and founder of Strategy Sprints. He's also got a book by the same name. We'll probably hear about that. It's a global team of certified Strategy Sprints coaches, and it offers customized strategy to help customers and clients gain market share and work in weekly sprints, which results in fast execution. Please help me welcome our guest today, and that is Simon Severino. Welcome, Simon.
Hello, Mark. So cool to be here. Hello, everybody.
Great to have you. So listen, let's start off real quick with a little bit of background. What gives you the creds to be able to tell people how to grow their businesses faster?
So in 21 years, I've been doing only one thing, and that's being the strategy advisor to teams, especially B2B teams, agencies, consultancies, and B2B SaaS, on how to enter a market, crush it in the market, stay in the market. That has been the only question that I've been asked every day for 21 years by executive teams. And my personal passion is, of course, go to market, because that's the most vital thing. If you say to somebody, hey, I need 3 days more, I'm not sure I got the strategy, how you enter this and the angle and how you stay there and how you beat your competitor. Can we have 3 days more with your whole executive team? They go, of course, Simon, if we don't get this right, everything else doesn't fall into place. You need 3 days more? Sure. So I have their attention. It's relevant. We're all committed. And I was like, wow, this is my favorite thing to do. Can I do this for 15 years? Fast forward, 21 years later, I'm still doing this. The only thing that changed is the world around us and my role and what my business and what my team needs from me. I was the solo guy. I was the business when we started, and now it's a team, and now it's in almost every time zone. So the first challenge was, how do I remove myself as a bottleneck? How can I fire myself from operations? This is something maybe that many listeners are thinking about, right? I'm hitting a plateau. It's kind of I was the magic, but now I'm the bottleneck here. We have hit, I don't know, 500,000, 600,000, 800,000 per year. And if I do more, it doesn't get better. I will just burn out. And so if I do more of the same, I'm not scaling here. So I need to find a shift in the business model. That's the moment usually when people call us and say, now I need a sprint. Because if I do just more, I'm just depleting my energy, but I'm not moving significantly from 80,000 per month to 160,000 per month, from 100,000 per month to 200,000 per month. I'm stuck. I have to find a more scalable way. And this is something, especially agency owners, consultancy owners, they've come so far, and now we have to tell them, we have to fire you.
Right.
They don't like it. And I remember I was telling to my wife, right, I'm firing myself. She goes, are you kidding? And so I say, no, really, people cannot book me as a coach anymore. And she says, but Simon, you are the company, right?
Yeah.
I say, well, yeah, I started the thing. But when you go to a doctor, yes, you need some trust in the doctor, but you don't go for the doctor. You go for solving your problem at hand. And that is actually baked into a process. And that doctor learned the process, can teach the process, and can hand it over. That's why there is 6,000 years of medicine. And it's working. It's the process, and you can trust the process, right?
So that brings up a whole litany of questions, and I want to get to systems and processes in a second here, but I want to start with one of our limitations that we have as human beings. And one of the limitations that I know I have as an entrepreneur, or I had, let's say, I still have it, let's be honest. And that is, I'm a bit of a control freak. Most entrepreneurs have an idea, they have a vision of the way they want to see things done. And what they do is they take the adage, if you want to get something done right, let's just do it yourself, right? Because they don't want to trust the details to somebody else, even though they may not be the best person to do the details. So what they end up doing is quitting their 9-to-5 job and replacing it with a, you know, 9-to-9 job or a 9-to-midnight job, because they're not only running the business, but they're also trying to do the craft or the art that they were so good at. Maybe they were a chef before and they started a restaurant. So now they have to learn how to run a restaurant as a business person, and they still want to be the chef, but now they want to, now they realize that something's got to give. Their life can't continue that way or they'll burn out. I'm going a long way to asking this question, and that is, how do you get the entrepreneur to admit, okay, listen, I'm going to give up the reins in this particular area. Maybe it's the business, maybe it's the art, maybe it's both. How do you get them to admit it and hand over that control to somebody else when that's not in their vision or their nature?
I totally feel with them, because they should never hand over control. I'm a control guy myself, and everybody who has a high quality standards has high control needs over that quality, because otherwise you cannot ensure the quality. So keep the control, but you bake it into the system. So let's have an example. So it's the, I fired myself as a coach. I now say, all right, yeah, you want to double your revenue in 90 days? Come in, here's your coach. Now I will not just let them alone with the coach for 90 days. There is a sprint dashboard that it's always in real time, and it's the one marketing number, the one sales number, and the one operations number of the week. So we have daily habits, weekly habits, and monthly habits, and all of them are in a real-time dashboard. And I have it on my phone right now. I don't have to trust anybody, and I don't want to trust anybody. I trust only a process if it's a trustable process. I don't trust people. And this is maybe where people go, oh, I don't have to trust. All right. Because we're not good at trusting anyways, if we are entrepreneurs. But we are good at measuring and at creating tracking systems and measuring systems. So you want to bake quality loops, quality control loops into everything and have real-time data in a non-corruptible way. The real data always accessible. So right now we have 22 people sprinting, and on my phone I can see right now 22 sprint dashboards. I see their marketing number of this week, the sales number of this week, and the operations number of this week. That's why I don't have to trust. I can control, I can verify, right? So I prefer to verify. And you bake control loops into the thing. So which mechanisms will tell you if a quality standard is not met? How can you build them in a way that it's telling you early, that there is an early signal, an early indicator that something is just going 0.2% not according to standard? Because then you have time to react. That's why it's a weekly dashboard and not a monthly dashboard. And that's why it's real time, because you want to know the weak signal so that you can react in time. And that's quite important. Many people get a monthly 50 KPIs.
Yeah, right.
It's not helpful.
Yeah.
I want 3 numbers and I want them now.
So let's bring this down to a real example. And I know, you know, there's a lot more to it than what we can do in a short podcast. But let's say that I have a company that makes covers for phones. And I come to you and I say, you know, Simon, and I'm assuming this is not, I'm not coming to you at the very beginning of the business. I'm coming to you when the business is starting to grow. So let's say my business has been around 2 years. I'm working my fingers to the bone. and I come to you and I say, okay, what can you do for me? I need to increase my sales from 1 million to 3 million in the next year and a half, 2 years. How can you do that? Take me through the process, because we're going to talk about that process, but take me through the big rocks you're thinking to make me convinced that it's a good idea to kind of keep control, but give up the day-to-day activities and just measure it. And how do you help us?
Yeah. So if it's B2C, we don't coach them. If it's B2B, meaning they are selling high ticket items to other people, then in the end, sell it to retailers, then we can coach them.
Let's go with
because we need a high ticket and high profitability, high margin. Otherwise, it's just not a good business model. We don't do it.
Okay.
So we want good business models. And that's high margin, because when it's high margin, you care about the other person. And we only support people who really care about the other person on the other side.
Now, why if it's high margin mean that you care about the other person?
Because then when they call you, you go, oh, yeah, I'm here. And if somebody calls you for something that's $100, you go, I'm getting called again. So that's not the energy that we want to support. We want to support an energy where you go deep, where you really care, and you grow together.
Huh, interesting. Okay, so anyway.
So high ticket.
Yeah,
high ticket. And then in the first month, we will divide their work into three pieces: marketing, sales, operations. Many times, marketing and sales is kind of mushed together.
Usually.
So we teach them what the difference is. No, marketing is, hey, hello, here we are. Let's talk. Sales is, all right, now let's get cranking. Let's stop talking. Let's stop working together. Do we commit? Do we go really deep? Do we take responsibility? And do we intensify the relationship? That's sales. And then you have to deliver what you promised. That's delivery or operations. So we will have a captain, somebody owning each part. And with that person, we will say, now tell me, what do you do? And we will help them write it down. And now they have a process, standard operating procedure for marketing. And now they have a process for sales. And now they have a process for operations. And many of those will tell you, no, I don't have a process. That's why we don't ask that way. We ask just, tell me how you do marketing.
Yeah, sure.
And then we write it down for them. And then they say, oh my God, I have a process. And say, yes, you had it in your head. Now you have it in front of you. And now that it's out of your head, now we can start hiring. Because now you can scale it. And so usually we help them delegate. Now we teach them how to delegate. The first thing is that you will feel the urge to do it yourself. So what do you do when you feel the urge? You give it to either a software or to a person either in your team, or you hire them. We give them the blueprints on how to hire, how to onboard in an efficient way. And so now we have three parts of a business with three clear owners. They report every 7 days into the team meeting, the one marketing number, sales number, ops number. In this case, it might be marketing number, might be how many people went to our website, clicked, opted in, went into the cart, but then jumped out of the cart. Sales number might be, okay, how many did we sell and how many did they send back? So sell minus sendbacks. And then the ops number might be how many people bought a second one, for example, or how many people did we lose from a cohort if it's a subscription-based business? So you have one number, one number, one number. And now everybody in the team knows exactly what they're working towards, because in 7 days, we want to see those three numbers be slightly higher than now. So they will all automatically prioritize.
Yeah. Sounds actually pretty simple. And you know what? I think some of the most intricate and elegant things actually are very simple. In fact, if you look at what Einstein said, he said everything should be made as simple as possible, but no simpler, right? So there's some beauty in the way you tease out the process, which, you know, most of us as entrepreneurs, we just do. We don't plan. We should spend 80% of our time planning. Unfortunately, we spend 80% of our time doing, 20% of our time planning, right? It should be the other way around. And so I love the fact that you're actually backing up coming in with a fresh set of eyes, but really letting them open their eyes and just, qualifying and quantifying it so that they have the procedure right there in front of them. And then they can look at it and make it even better, improve it every week, every month, and every year. So that makes sense to me.
And now we have pulled out one person who optimizes those three things. Because now the three things are, you know, how you create value, but that's still working in the business. Now you need at least one person, as you say, working on the business. So we will pull out one person. Usually it's the founder, the owner. We pull them out. They don't touch any more marketing, sales, and ops. They have only one job, and that's improving form, fit, and function of the marketing systems, improving form, fit, and function of the sales systems, improving form, fit, and function of the operation systems. And this is what you call management, or this is why you need an executive team to do that. But now they have the time to do it. Because many times we call a team an executive team, but they don't have the time to do it. They don't really do that 40 hours a week.
And this gets results, right?
And this gets you results because now you just look at these three things. And if you want to go fancy, you can break them down into six parts. Awareness, interest, engagement, closing, delivering, retaining. That's the value chain of every business.
Yeah.
Now you have six parts. Now the person who has time to improve the system, to work on the system, can look at, okay, what's the bottleneck? If we 10x what we put in here, which part breaks first? That's your bottleneck. So now, all right, team, this week, that's what we do. We will solve the conversion from awareness to engagement or from closing to onboarding because that's the bottleneck. So if we close more deals, we cannot deliver. So we have to solve that first. Everything that's manual will be automated. Everything which is internal might be outsourced. We have to solve this bottleneck first because that's the weakest part. If we 10x the number of clients, this is the part that breaks first. This is how you see the bottleneck. So that week, team works only on solving that bottleneck. And when that is solved, you start the next project of identifying and solving the next bottleneck. So you have only one process of six elements, only one thing to improve. So your life is very simple now. And, you know, Elon Musk always says the best part is just no parts or one part.
He's right. Yeah.
There's one process. And then everything on top of that are projects. And now you limit the amount of projects. You just run one project until it's completed and then you start the next one. This is how you stay sane and scale a business with ease and grace, because the results will go up, but your stress will not.
So for my audience, for my listeners and viewers, one of the reasons I'm going deep with Simon here on business is because if you've listened to my podcast or my videos on my quad investment strategy, you know that I talk about hard assets, tech assets, and soft assets. And then I also talk about investing in yourself and investing in your business. So if you're not in business, that's okay. You can invest more in yourself or whatever brings you in money as well. But if you have the opportunity to be in business, that's what this is for, is because so often what we do is we get in business and then we start just getting sales and getting business and making profit. And we're never tweaking and improving the business so that we can take ourselves out of it. I talk about at least four freedoms, right? There's a lot more, but the main ones are financial freedom. Certainly on this podcast, we talk about financial freedom and how you allocate your resources so that you can live a free life. But it's not all about financial freedom. It's time freedom. It's people freedom. It's location freedom, right? So how do we do that? Well, if you're working 80 hours to 120 hours a week right now in your job, you don't have time freedom. You may have financial freedom, but you can't use it. You probably don't have people freedom. You got to go and see the same people every day because if you don't, things start to weaken. You certainly don't have time freedom. So the bottom line is that you have to put processes and procedures in your life. And this is such a key component. And it's one of the reasons that I think is such a benefit to listening to this podcast. You may not be in business right now, but there's a lot of cool things that this man is talking about that you can apply to your life to get those freedoms in your life, right? Make some changes, make some decisions. So keep listening because he has some really cool things to say. By the way, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Mark Yeager here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
All right, we are back. So Simon, listen, one of the reasons I really gelled with you when we first had our first meeting was that I loved the way you approached life, right? You have a real zest for life and you've kind of gone into your professional mode here, but you know, I know you as a little bit more fun, you know, but when you're in professional mode, that's probably like, cause you're direct and you're getting stuff done. But I think one of the things that I'm really attracted to about your personality is that you love to learn. Right. So tell us about that and why that's so important, not just to you, but maybe why that's important to other people that you've met who are successful.
Learning is core for me and everything is learning. To me, the world is a huge library, university, you name it, a gym. It's something, you know, to work with. It throws stuff at me and I say, yes, bring it on. And then I try to learn what this thing is. So I'm getting 42 years old. I used to be a triathlete, but now I have three kids and I'm 42. So my body starts, you know, becoming stiff. And so I'm learning now the art of yoga. Nice. And I learned that there is such a deep quality in there. And I'm learning how to make the body soft again. Wonderful. Ashtanga yoga is a wonderful thing that I'm learning right now. It's teaching me what the body is actually here to do and how it should move actually. So wonderful, wonderful. And then of course there's the deep side of yoga, which is meditation. And you do that actually to connect to your eternal self, to your divine infinite possibility. And that's the spiritual side of yoga where I'm learning a ton also there. Next thing is that the Federal Reserves decided to take 20% of my net worth and just print brr. So, so I had to learn how to invest because you cannot have just money on a banking account. You can, but it's devaluing. It's like holding ice in your hand. It's just melting away at the 14% rate, according to my calculation, 9% according to official media. So I don't like that, to lose 40% of my wealth. And so I'm learning how to be an investor. The systems that you have, I am learning how to build them, how to keep them. I'm getting smarter, I'm understanding more. And since I'm a learner, I take what I know from strategy and I try to bring that to trading and investing.
That's great.
I'm learning. I'm learning every week. I have some things I found out. And definitely in terms of risk management, I come from the strategy side. So I always go, I never try to pick a winning asset. I try to pick the indispensable infrastructure piece that it will need. So for example, I would never buy an NFT, but I am analyzing NFT exchanges every week. Because whatever NFT you want to have, you will need a platform, you will need an exchange where you buy it. So I'm looking at the flow there. I'm looking at the infrastructure. I'm looking at all blockchains and I go only for layer ones. I would never touch Matic. It's a great asset, but it's a layer two. And as a strategist, there are streets, there are buildings, there are companies in the building That's the three levels of risk. I want to own the streets first. Then we talk buildings. Then we talk apartments in the building where you have businesses. So that's layer one, the layer one blockchains, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana. And then you have the level two things, Matic. And then you have the level three things, applications on top of that. I don't even touch them.
Yeah. That's interesting. I want to jump down in that. But I read a book a few years ago called Abundance. And it was co-authored by Peter Diamandis, who I just think is a great futurist and really, one of the great minds of our time. And he's very accessible, and you can find all kinds of things about Peter Diamandis. And he co-wrote this book called Bold, and Bold was this first one. Then he wrote another one called Abundance. And in the Abundance book, he talked about how you shouldn't rebuild platforms. You should take the existing platforms that are currently out there and build on them or use them, right? Instead of trying to figure out how to build another Facebook, you get into Facebook and you can advertise in Facebook and use that platform. Instead of building, a street, use a different street to go to your house or whatever. You don't have to build your own street if there's already a street there, right? So it's a great way of looking. I like your streets, buildings, and companies analogy, because if you're a company, you're at the mercy of the street. If you're a building, you're at the mercy of the street. If there's a sinkhole, if you live in Florida, if you have a sinkhole under your street, it doesn't really matter how many companies are in the building. The building's going to fall and the street's not going to be built. So I love the way you do that. And you've been applying it just recently in the cryptocurrency business. So let me just back up and tell my audience that you're a wealth of different things because you are a curious learner. And that's what I found in most successful people. In fact, if you listen to my podcast, you always find that people aren't just unidimensional here. They've got lots of dimensions to them. And that's why I find this business fascinating. But, in your case, you are into trading, learning how to do stock trading and options trading and crypto trading, things like that. But in the last couple of days, we've had a lot of tumult in the market. We've had one of the major exchanges has basically failed. And whether there's fraud there or not, we don't know. But it's taken down some of those buildings along the street. And maybe tell us just briefly, you don't have to tell us the names, but you've been able to find some opportunities and capitalize on those opportunities because you're such a learner. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's a great example of what happened the last 2 days and how I approached to understand and to trade it. So we lost one exchange and one major player who was running the exchange, and everybody got super emotional. You had panic in the market, fear index, high price pressure, you had selling pressure, and then you had people picking data and creating incredible emotional loops on Twitter that were then picked up by main media, and everybody thought again, end of the world. So if you stay with first principles, something like Warren Buffett, Ray Dalio, the really good investors that have stood the test of time, that have done 30 years of beating the market, not just 1 year.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you take their simple processes, Charlie Munger, Stan Druckenmiller, they have a very similar process, different in how they execute it, but it's quite similar. It is whatever others are thinking. There are two levels. There is the fundamental level. This is what something is value, value, the real value use case of something. And then there is market price. And market price is always bipolar. It's either undervaluing or overvaluing. It's never at fair price, or it doesn't stay at fair price for a long time. So it touches, it comes back to fair price. But it doesn't stay there. So it comes back to moving averages, but it doesn't stay there. So these two things, fundamental analysis and technical analysis, I've been applying as a student, and now I was applying to the FTX crash. Solana was the hardest hit asset, down 70%, everybody selling. And then the number, unstaked validators, 3 million people are going to unstake. Okay, I double check. I hear the noise. I hear the emotion. And so when I hear fear, I say, all right, maybe it's time to buy today. It doesn't feel right. Never because did. Everybody's selling. But that's one more signal that it's a buying opportunity. It's a buying day.
Yep.
So first thing I learned, emotions out of it. Just see the signal. Everybody's panicking. Okay, let's go shopping. Now, what do we shop? Fundamentals first. Don't look at the price. Fundamentals first. So what is Solana? It's a layer one. It's a street. What changed? Nothing changed in the fundamentals. Nothing. So the price is extremely low. That's a buy indicator. I just double check. Bollinger Band, RSI, your usual indicator, volume, to enter at the right moment. So I don't wait totally until trend reversal. I try to nail the bottom, even if it's hard, but I nailed it at $13, and I doubled my Solana back.
Nice.
So now it's at, as we're talking, it's at 17, 18, and that's a 30% in a day. So just by not being an expert, because I'm not an expert investor or trader, I'm just a person who thinks in first principles, is learning because knowledge is available out there. You can study these things on YouTube. But that's how I study. And I'm applying first principles and especially strategy. So what's the difference between fundamental analysis and technical analysis? And what drives what?
So
that's the thinking process.
Strip out the emotions, everybody, because when you strip out the emotions, you can make a logical decision. That's why I always tell people in my program to have a plan, because you make that plan when the market's closed and you're logical and emotions aren't driving it. Because when the market's open, and in cryptocurrency space, it's open 24/7. But when the market's open, that's not a good time to be making decisions, because you're hearing news from the TV. Cramer's telling you what stocks to buy and sell. The news about this guy, tanking his exchange, and he's going to have to liquidate, and the rest of the street's going to liquidate it. You know, some of that may be true, but if you get sucked into the hype because other people have their interests, you know, selling newspapers, selling ads, then you start to make emotional decisions. Simon basically telling you, look, back up, go back to the fundamentals. What has changed? Nothing. If nothing's changed, now you just have a strategy to rely on other things. Fundamental analysis, technical analysis, price entries, things like that. Maybe your momentum indicators, whatever they are for you, whatever system you're using, which goes back to the top of our call, and then you can rely on that system. And let's go back. I'm just going to call you the systems guy, because you no matter what I've asked you today, it always goes back to a system. And I know from the things I teach that systems remove emotions. Systems are made of rules, and the rules are there to protect you. Sounds like you do the same thing. You systematize businesses so that they can strip out emotions, step away from the business, let it work even better because those emotions might have been clouding it. Am I getting close to the summary of what we've just talked about for the last 30 minutes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think systems is the core of everything, because, you know, when you get hit hard by, let's say, a pandemic or, you know, a market crash, etc., the only thing that you can rely upon are your systems.
Yeah.
So the goal maybe can stretch you higher during happy times, but in tough times, so you can raise to the level of your goals, but you will probably fall to the level of your systems. Yeah. And so that's the base. That's the core. You live in systems, and then, you know, you energize yourselves with goals, but you live in systems, hopefully.
I love it. We could end that part of our chat right there, but I would like to give the audience an opportunity to connect with you more. What can they do? How can they get more of Simon Severino?
I share many of my systems, checklists, blueprints in the Strategy Sprints book. It's on Amazon. And I hang out at strategysprints.com. Sure. We also share many of those tools, weekly habit, daily habit, monthly habit. We share them on, it's open source. Because I want them to get better and then to be used. So they are also at strategysprints.com.
All right. So Simon is at strategysprints.com. He's got a multitude of resources there. I know him in one of his Facebook groups. And there's a lot of value that somebody that cares about humanity gives out for free. So I suggest that you guys take advantage of some of it. Of course, if you want to go further with him, he's got to make a living and probably does a pretty good job doing that and providing value for people. So you can step it up, but at least he's giving you some resources to go and find out some things and get to know him a little bit better. And I hope you've been able to get to know Simon Severino a bit better on this call. So Simon, thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and for being here today.
Thank you, Mark, for holding the space for your community with this consistency. Keep rolling.
My pleasure. Great to see you. And by the way, thanks for being back here as an audience. I always love to have you viewing, watching us, like us on Facebook. And remember what I always say, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. See you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast, everybody. Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.